WPXB Mobile.
Good morning, Lord. How are you doing?
You're probably already pretty much on your way because you're definitely a little bit scratchy, but you're definitely readable.
I am actually already down the mountain coming into TR. I've already made my first two stops this morning.
And you're doing it carefully. Like I said, you're definitely clear, but just a little bit of low volume and some scratch every once in a while.
Fog up on the mountain caused some issues this morning.
Definitely understandable.
85 on your way into.
You need to turn on the Highway 14 to head that way to 85.
Over in the Greer area.
I live on the top end of Highway 14 in Simpsonville area.
Way from your meeting place there, isn't it?
30 minutes.
Just over that way or not, in that general area?
No, like I said, I know people in that lodge are my good friends, and it also makes it easier when I'm leaving work that I can go straight there instead of having to drive there 45 minutes or even worse with if there's a lot of traffic to make it to the lodge in the Greenville-Simpsonville area.
I definitely understand that. Like I said, for me, though, it's just everybody, I'm so used to everybody living close to what they're doing, so... when you say you live in Simpsonville, but you're up here in Greer at the lodge, it just kind of throws me for a minute.
Like I said, I've been kind of looking around for different places, but like I said, that's the best one that I like right now because being at the degree that I'm at in Masonry, I can pretty much go to any lodge and as a visitor with no issue.
I guess it's just like the radio club. You go to the one you feel comfortable at, no matter if you got to drive to it or not. It's all about in the people that are there.
That is definitely true.
For me, I'm driving down back down the mountain or doing it online because there's just not much up in the, or there's nothing in the Transylvania County area. There's one in Harrisonville.
That's definitely the day of doing things on the internet with virtual and Zoom meetings are definitely nice. It has definitely kept the businesses and clubs going.
Nice, but for me, you lose that personal interaction. It's like everybody just attends the meetings. Nobody asks any questions or has any comments. It's just... listen to the speech and leave. So to me, you lose a lot in doing that. But I see a place for it also.
That's true, like I said. But that's why when I normally conduct a meeting like that, I already give them people the heads up that during that point in time, I make a point to have them ask questions. That way I know that they're effectively listening.
My training when I was still working on cars, we had classes online that we would take, and to be honest with you, I didn't get near as much out of those as the ones I went to in person, where you could actually talk to the other guys in the shop and communicate with them and, talk about your experiences and learn off of that. You don't have any of that with the Zoom or Meet Teams or any of that stuff, so... to me, I think the in-person meetings are better, but like I say, I definitely see a place for the Zoom and all that stuff, too.
That's true, where, because especially with the mechanic-wise of that type of job, it's better to actually be able to do the hands-on than just a virtual seeing somebody else do it and listening them talk about it. Because you're right, people just zone out after a while and not pay attention anymore.
They just get up and walk off, and then they're not doing anything.
I have seen it where people just take like a screenshot or a video of themselves and just have that running in a loop on a camera. So, but once that's figured out, then that person that's organized the meeting is not too happy about it.
Have to figure out how to do that, I guess. I never even tried. I tried to learn what I could from the meetings. Even if I don't enjoy the subject matter that I've got to go to a meeting for, I try to learn something out of it to make it worthwhile.
Definitely the purpose of the meeting, and also the people that's putting on the meeting need to realize once the effective, you know, training has reached that point, then they just need to cut it off, because after that, if it's no longer effective and everyone's toned out or tuned out, then you need to call it done till another time.
Definitely on that one, because some of the classes can get really dry and hard to maintain focus on, that's for sure.
Ready to stab yourself in the neck with a pen, it's definitely time to call it done. So went to the Spartanburg County Air Show that they had, and was out there recruiting for the State Guard, and definitely saw the nice planes out there and talked to a lot of good people and just had a great time out there.
Sounds like fun. So did you get any recruits this weekend?
I got 5 names in my phone that I put in that I'm going to get in touch with people, and we had 3 more that was on paper, and some of the other guys, you know, got some names too. So we were all doing it for the State Guard side of it, not one particular battalion. But like I said, yeah, we definitely got some names, and we'll definitely be contacting them, and hopefully they join from there.
I know this is going to sound like a stupid question, but is the State Guard just for retired military or ex-military?
Anybody can join. Like I said, they just have to fill out, go to the South Carolina State Guard webpage and click on I want to join, and just fill out all the paperwork, and then the recruiting staff from that area will be contacting you and go from there.
I was under the assumption that it was always for ex-military. You had to have prior service to be in the State Guard.
And so that way, if you know anybody, just, you know, have them just go to that. And also, the biggest thing we did while we were down, you know, for this recruiting event, we made definitely some good contacts with, like, the local VA places, like the American Legion, that of prior service people that still want to give back to the State Guard and want to kind of stay affiliated with the military of what they did, then to join the State Guard, that's a good way to get, you know, people back into the State Guard and military, you know, functions that they did when they retired, when they left military or retired.
KO4 HKX. Yeah, that's a good way to keep up that, I guess. And but what kind of things do you actually do in the State Guard, or, you know, what is the scope of it, I guess, is the best way to do it?
Like our battalion in this area, like I said, we have a on the ground search and rescue team, and like I said, we have people that now that we've got certified to, you know, clear logs and cut down debris and do that stuff. But the whole concept of the State Guard, like I said, they have a military police detachment that guards the governor in sporting events and provides security when major events like that for dignitaries, and they will also come to the State Guard units when they're having events for security. We have a search and air rescue team. They have a diving team. I mean, they got all kind of stuff still with the State Guard.
I didn't realize they got into all that. Like I said, to be honest with you, didn't know a whole lot about it at all. Nice to get some information on it, I guess.
State Guard pretty much will respond to natural disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, anything within the state. Like I said, we, you know, on normal occasions, we cannot deploy to to any other state. I mean, we'll deploy there and when they ask, but you know, a lot of times that doesn't happen because it's all volunteer force and they don't want people getting hurt in that situation for other states. And that's why they also have to be very careful when soldiers deploy, because if it's a major area and somebody gets hurt, then the state is responsible for that person to a certain level of money-wise to the, for their medical care to get them back up and functioning.
So are there age requirements on that?
Actually, 2 feet in heartbeat. Yeah, like I said, they do have a medical detachment that will, like if you have severe heart issues or any kind of medical issues that you can't, you know, kind of function for it, an 8-hour day or you know, probably about a 10-hour day, then yeah, you won't, you know, if you're not able to be boots on the ground for 8 to 10 hours or whatever, but yeah, there's a lot of people in here with, you know, there's diabetics and they're just definitely all kind. Pretty much if you have a severe heart condition or any kind of medical issue that makes it where you have to maintain that very closely in a non-field environment, then that would be kind of hard to do, but that's still up to the medical detachment to make that decision.
Information, I thought it was more like I said, like the military, you aged out of being able to join or anything like that, but I guess it's just the state's version of that instead of the federal version of the military.
The age for the State Guard, if you're 17 years old, you have to have a family sign for you that you can join, but it's 17 to normally about 67 because 70 is the cutoff, but normally there's an unofficial, you know, state contract for like 3 years. Like I said, since it's no pay, but you do take an oath to defend the state and stuff like that. So, but due to the fact that it's no pay, you just pretty much, if you want to be out for some, you, and you're having issues, then just fill out the paperwork and there's pretty much, you're done.
That information this morning, Lord, that's definitely useful. Maybe it helps somebody on the radio.
Okay, at any point in time you have questions about it, just let me know. Like I said, we're always looking for people that want to serve and help out.
Joined in South Carolina because I don't live down here, but assuming I can anyway. But definitely help when I can.
Join the State Guard if you wish. You just have to be willing to travel to when the when drill weekend or a disaster comes up or that we're called. We got people that live in other states that are, you know, in our guard.
Okay, now that really surprises me, because if you don't live in the state, I mean, it'd be hard to do that.
A little more effort and dedication on their side of it to where, you know, when they're called, they have to have good contact information where that person's called up and by email or phone when something that we get called, and they have to be, you know, willing and knowing that they have to travel to that part. Because what we've started doing, a bus that everyone will drive to the armory and we'll take a bus to our location, because we don't want to have soldiers say if we deploy to a hurricane area, now their cars are parked in that storm, and if they get either washed away, then now that soldier has no way of getting back when the mission is complete.
And you don't have to find a place to park all those cars, so you can all travel down on a bus. Makes more sense to me.
Yes, it does, because most of the time when they finally clear an area, say if it was a hurricane down on the around the beach, what we'll do is they will get to the point of everyone that they're going to evacuate, they evacuate, and then they will pull everybody back to an armory that's not in a flood zone, and then the soldiers will stay in that armory till the majority of that passes, and then once everything clears, then that's when they'll be out in boats and high vehicles that can tread through the water and stuff like that to help out anybody that is sitting on their roofs or needs help.
Do you use your amateur radio stuff or license in the National or the Guard? KO4HKX.
Correct. We have the Anytone 878s, and so that's issued by the State Guard, and they're required people that use them to have a radio license, since it's pretty much it is talking on the with a ham radio. So yes, we are required to have license.
Using the South Carolina HART system to do that? Is that what y'all are communicating on?
We haven't used that aspect of it yet. If it ever come down to a disaster and they're all linked up, we'll definitely do that. But when there's an activation like that, the State Guard has its own repeaters like a mobile repeater that can be all set up, and then all the radios can talk statewide.
I heard you telling Chad about those mobile repeaters one time before. So, okay. Like I said, something I know absolutely nothing about.
It's KO4PXB, then you're doing the exact thing that you need to do. When you have questions, when you had questions about it, just ask, and that way you can definitely get the good information.
If you don't ask, you don't ever know. You can't learn anything that way.
Nope, definitely not. And that, or you, when you truly kind of, sometimes it happens everywhere, people talk about things they don't know, and then other people that are asking them the questions get bad information.
That does happen everywhere, and every industry, no matter what you're doing.
We're always, especially in the IT world, we're always worried about the people that consider them an IT specialist. So, there is no specialist of anything. It's not everybody knows anything or of everything about the IT world. That just normally what you deal with and what you can fix. And in the computer world, there's ghosts in the machines that you have no idea why things happen, but they do.
Same with automotive. Sometimes you just run across a car or a truck that just doesn't function the way it's supposed to, the way it's been designed to, and you don't know why or how you got here.
A lot of people that have theories about and worry about stuff that think because everything pretty much now runs on computer chips, that's part of the programming that just at that point in time of date and time, whatever, that chip and encoded instructions will just allow that to happen, where either you have to contact the vendor to fix it or just have somebody else fix it. And when it comes just to, I would hate to say for them to be malicious, but it's always a possibility with computer chips and programming.
Honestly, it's that way with anything that's man-made. Computers just tend to be a little easier because you can program a date and a time in for it to happen. But I can design a car to where it's only going to work so long and then that's it, or a part or anything.
It's definitely true, because this has probably been about 10 years ago or more. Me and my wife were coming out of a restaurant in Simpsonville and watched a guy back into another car that obviously had been drinking. We found out after the fact that we were following him on the interstate and a highway. We were on the phone with a highway patrol following the guy, giving him directions of where we were going. And when they got to where they were in his business, and when he showed up for court, he brought a printout of saying that he was working and this time, this, that, and the other. And they brought me up on the stand and had me look at that code, and being an IT person, I said, this is from a dot matrix printer from an IBM AS400. Him being the programming, he can sit there and tell that AS400 IBM computer to put in your V anytime he wants it to and get a printout.
We have people that try to beat the system any way they can and use things maliciously when they shouldn't.
What he was trying to do is he was trying to say that, well, there's no way for him to have backed into that car and have a DUI when he was at work, and they're going, I'm sorry, they didn't believe him, and because me and my wife physically saw him do it and backed into the car, and they had the paint chips from his car that when he backed into the other one.
Don't understand why people can't just admit they're wrong and move on. You made a mistake, deal with it, suffer your consequences, and here you are. Be a lot easier that way, but that's not how we're made.
Unfortunately, people are, in not doing so, they're in fear of getting in trouble by admitting guilt. Like I said, it's just have to, you know, suck it up, buttercup, and you did it, deal with it.
Saying is, play stupid games, win stupid prize, and there you go.
It's just, you know as well as I do, have no idea what this world's coming to, and just would hate to see, you know, what it's going to be like within either 1 or 2 years from now.
Scary thought. As fast as this world's changing now, there's no telling where we'll be at in another 2 to 3 years.
When I look at the 2-year-old that we're raising now, what it's going to be like when she's, you know, 18 years old, getting out into the world, of how horrible it's going to be then.
Play a scary thought. I think the same thing for my son when he's 23 this year, and when he's my age in another 24 years, what's going to happen? Where are we going to be? It's a scary thought when you think about it that way. But thankfully, I'm not in control of that, and I don't have to worry about that.
What we can do is raise them right and give them good and wholesome instructions, and more than likely they'll stick to it, and that's all the best we can hope for.
But Lloyd, with that, I am going to have to clear out. I've got customers finally showing up for work, so you be careful on the end of work today, and good talking to you this morning. So KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3.
It's KO4PXB. Patrick, please be careful, and I'll definitely talk to you another time.